Hello, I'm Barnaby Jeans, a Senior Technology Advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast. This is a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. For supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcasts in this series, please visit microsoft.ca/ITpodcast. With the explosion of email, the use of instant messaging and mobile phones, the way Canadians work has changed dramatically. Today, Canadian businesses have to deal with the paradox of information overload and underload. Is unified communication the answer to this challenge? To shed some light on unified communications, we're pleased to welcome Bill Buxton here with me in the studio from Microsoft Research. As well, we have Brian Roosh from Microsoft Canada and Evan Zaleschuk, Director MTS Allstream Collaboration Suite, joining us via phone. Bill, Evan, Brian, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
First off, Bill, how do we define unified communications in the new world of work?
The average worker today gets 51 messages a day. 61% of your communications are via email. The phone represents 31%, but that's not what's important. What's really changed is where you get those messages and where you send them. And it's this change of location. And the problem is you don't have all of these various communications media at all places at all times. What unified messaging does is it lets me access all of my messages from a single device or single method, regardless of what device. So it doesn't matter if I use my phone or my computer, for example. I can get everything. It's a single drop, single pickup, whatever device.
So the whole idea here is really to kind of help with that productivity. I don't have to go out and check half a dozen different systems, half a dozen different tools. Everything shows up in one place.
Give me what I got. That's it.
Excellent. So Evan, from your perspective, you know, from an MTS Allstream perspective, what are you guys doing to make it easier for customers to kind of navigate through this new world?
Well, I agree with Bill. I mean, the unified communication portfolio really provides a single point of entry to the network world that's consistent across all applications and a multiple array of devices. Really, companies should have a unified, complete view of their communication options, whether they're using voice or text, whether it's real-time or offline, and with access to tools like speech-to-text conversion. And we believe you should be able to listen to your email or read your voicemail. Things like project notifications, meetings, business applications, contacts, and schedules should all be accessible with one single consistent view, whether you're at your desk, whether you're working in an office down the hall, or on the road, or working from home.
So it's really all about using the interface that's most appropriate for the scenario you're sitting in at that time.
It's about giving the right information to the right person at the right time, in the right form, and at the right price. Since we're working in so many different contexts, what's right, and there's so many different people, what's right has to be flexible. It has to adapt to the situation.
So there's no really one single answer on how best to get the information. The single answer is really bringing it all together and giving the end user the choice and the flexibility.
Yeah, it's so 5 minutes ago when people were trying to say, this is better than that. Well, no, everything's best for something and worst for something else. And so the question isn't trying to replace things. It's trying to say, give me the appropriate set of choices without overwhelming me with additional complexity.
So as we just maybe go around the room quickly here and to the guys on the phone, what do you guys see as some of the top trends that are really fueling this new world of work? Maybe we'll start with you, Evan.
Well, if we take a look at organizations today, people are becoming more and more geographically dispersed within their organizations. We no longer see a company that works out of a single office. So even small organizations have multiple locations that are geographically dispersed. Plus, we have individuals that are road warriors or people that work from outside of the office. So we're seeing a lot of our customers that are looking for really simple ways to connect and collaborate with their peers across the country or throughout the world.
What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
Well, you know, this is all great. So the trick for me is how do you balance what I call, well, what everybody calls overload with what I call underload. The overload part is just basically how do I avoid being overwhelmed with too much stuff, too much complexity, or things that are just too hard to find that just overwhelm my capacity and time. On the other hand, how do I deal with the underload that I don't have the information I need at the given moment that I need it or at the location I need it? And trying to find a balance between those two things is the real challenge, and I think the thing that the unified messaging is doing a reasonably good job at, and it's just going to get better, but it's really made a huge difference already for me.
So it's not just about having volumes of information, it's about having the right information.
So you can see everything in one place, whichever way you're looking at it, and then you can filter and choose and drill right down to what you need and skip over the stuff you don't need at the moment. Because what's incredibly important to me right now, it might be useless to me 5 minutes ago and vice versa. And so importance has to do with where I am, the right place, right person, right time, right purpose.
So, Brian, from Microsoft's perspective and from your perspective, what do you see really as kind of the top trends?
One of the other trends that we have to think about is the emergence of transparent organizations, whether we're thinking about things like corporate governance and legislation, or we're worrying about protecting intellectual property, and how do we do all of that and deal with protecting information and dealing with regulation in the background without having the user worrying about these different things, then that's really what unified communications is about. It's enhancing the user experience dealing with all of these different things like transparent organizations and increasing mobility across geographic and organizational boundaries.
Excellent. And it sounds like as we start to move into that more unified approach, that's going to have hopefully very positive impacts on productivity as well.
Well, what you want is you want more help, more benefit to cope with this complexity, not more complexity itself of how to reach it. I don't want something like a huge fat Swiss Army knife with 75 different things on it. I want something that's clean, where I can get direct access to what I want. And that's what we're starting to get, this balance about how do you get the best out of the previous generation of technologies but get rid of the complexity that used to be associated with it. It's almost like taking features out to make things cleaner and more efficient and less complex. So the things I'm worrying about and thinking about is the content of the message, not how to find them, how to leave them, where did I put them.
So Brian, from your perspective, unified communications, we've kind of heard that term. We've had that maybe in different forms over the last little while. What's new in the technology today that really kind of helps realize this whole concept?
If we think about what are some of the key technological pieces or applications that are enabling that right now, the recent launch of Exchange Server 2007 is a great example, which enables people to access voicemail, fax, and email all through one unified inbox using an application that a lot of people are familiar with today, Outlook. And so we start to see how all of this is converging. People are now working all over the place. It's not so much where you're going now. People are working from everywhere. And so there are other capabilities that give this anywhere access to email and calendar and voicemail and all of these different things. And as we start to think about things like presence or the ability to determine somebody's whereabouts or their availability and then launch communication through an application called Live Communication Server. And as we move forward to the next release of that with Office Communication Server 2007 and Live Meeting 2007 web conferencing product, we start to incorporate voice into there as well. So we get some call management capabilities. And all of this is integrated into Active Directory. And so all of it works very seamlessly together. You have one directory rather than having a voice directory and an email directory and other network services directory. It's all incorporated together. And so this is what's really enabling a lot of the transparency across different communications vehicles, across all of these different things.
Further to Bill and Brian's comments, I just wanted to state that historically we've contacted people on a specific device instead of trying to contact that person specifically. And I think with the advent of unified communication and the ability for multimodal communication, we are now actually just going to contact an individual independent of their location or independent of their device. So we're not going to have to know a person's fax number, their cell phone number, their office number, their home phone number. We'll contact that individual through one method of communication, and that person will choose how they're communicated with.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you want to communicate with a person, not with a device or a phone number, and so it's much easier to remember and say, Barnaby or Bill or Evan, this is the person that I want to talk to, and then just launch the right communication vehicle from there, depending on the context, where I am, where they are, etc.
So it sounds like there's kind of a second important part aside from the actual products themselves, and you just briefly touched on it, Brian, and that's really the directory behind this and the importance of having that information available.
Definitely.
Now, you also started to talk a little bit about sort of the live meeting and the collaboration. I've been hearing a little bit about Microsoft Office Roundtable. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how it fits into this picture?
I'm sure everybody can kind of sympathize with having called into a meeting with multiple people and quickly becoming lost in the meeting because you don't really have the context. You hear voices, but you don't understand who's talking to who, etc. One of the upcoming tools includes Microsoft Office Roundtable for audio conferencing that has a 360-degree camera for online meetings that will revolutionize the virtual meeting experience. You have the ability to see everybody who's in the room at that moment and what's happening in the interaction, and there's a lot of really exciting technology behind that to make that a really quality experience as well.
And that's the second part that's really important. In traditional video conferencing, you're pulled in really tight and you can't see what's off in the periphery. And with Roundtable, you have what I would call an awareness server. You have a visual awareness of what everybody's doing, their state of alertness, and whether they got their hand up, these body gestures that really support the normal cues and so on of human-to-human communication. The technology is just a mediator and it gets out of the way. It's what I call out-of-your-face technology instead of interface technology.
It's really about, you know, not having to add more complexity through technology, but actually allowing the technology to kind of remove the complexity and really make you feel like you are in a more face-to-face environment.
Build the communication on the set of skills that you've acquired from a lifetime of living in the everyday world, right? And just get on with it.
Absolutely. Now, Evan, from your perspective, you know, from MTS Allstream, are you guys seeing a lot of demand for unified communications as you're out talking to customers?
We're seeing a tremendous increase in the amount of customers that want to talk to us about unified communications, and a lot of organizations are looking at revamping their whole communication strategy. These companies have a need not only for technology that supports collaboration, but for information to travel in real time between these geographically dispersed locations. So what we've done is we've worked with Microsoft very closely in developing the Allstream Collaboration Suite, or ACS as we refer to it. And it consists of multiple hosted applications of Microsoft's real-time collaboration technologies that's meeting this demand for unified communications. And our portfolio consists of a couple of applications. One of them, Microsoft Office Live Meeting 2005, which is a intuitive web conferencing solution from Microsoft that allows users to collaborate on documents and easily and effectively collaborate across any distance. The nice thing about Live Meeting is it also is very familiar to a lot of people that have used any of the Microsoft Office products. We're finding that it requires very little training to use and become very productive with the Live Meeting tool. Things like intuitive drag and drop, opening of files, the thumbnail navigation of document, and a common resource list that maintains inventory of content that's available throughout the entire meeting that really simplifies the way that you can interact with hundreds or literally thousands of people. The other product is Microsoft Office Live Communication Server 2005, which is another product within the ACS suite of products that we're hosting. The Live Communication Service really enables companies to make real-time decisions faster by the utilization of presence, you know, really knowing if someone's online or if they're available, if they're in a conference call, if they're on the phone. Normally today what we would do is pick up the phone and call somebody, or we would send them an email, and that's really a one-way method of communicating. But with presence information, Live Communication Server allows us to take a look at a contact list of multiple people that we interact with on a daily basis and really determine, well, who's available to answer my questions or who's available for me to interact with, and then that interaction happens in real time and in multiple directions. So you don't have to wait for someone to return a phone call. You don't have to wait for someone to return an email message. It really allows you to speed up the process of the day-to-day business activities within your organization.
Now, do you have any specific Canadian companies that you're able to talk about that are using these technologies?
We talk to small, medium, and enterprise customers as MTS Allstream, and they all have different reasons for deploying the solution, but they all seem to be able to benefit from these solutions. One of the companies that we've recently done a considerable amount of work with is Best Western, a hospitality in the chain of hotels. They actually had an email and instant messaging environment as a way to communicate with customers as well as internally within their own staff. But they had an aging IT infrastructure, and it was becoming more and more difficult for the company to maintain these messaging solutions. So we actually built an in-house supported messaging platform within MTS AllStream for this customer, because they felt that for us to maintain these types of applications internally and maintain that for them, as allow them to focus on the hotel and hospitality industry. So they were able to leverage these solutions so staff could easily communicate, share documents, and even applications with colleagues or, as I mentioned before, customers in real time and independent of location. Additionally, Best Western Hospitality Inn has access to voice over IP through the real-time collaboration portfolio, so really helping them to minimize their telephony costs, their long-distance charges amongst themselves. That's one example. Another one is a home builder, Homes by Abbey, that's headquartered out of Calgary, Alberta, but also has offices in Edmonton, Alberta, and recently Austin, Texas. They have over 200 employees and often need to collaborate on home design and construction, or the salespeople need to collaborate on the whole sales process itself. So having homes being built in multiple cities, having the face-to-face meetings wasn't always feasible or at short notice was really impossible. So this new technology has really helped them transform their communication and collaboration capabilities, and their teams are now able to work on designs together, you know, customized development of homes for specific clients, or just manage documentation. We really believe as this technology develops, we're going to see a lot more organizations adapting this technology, especially for 2007.
So we've talked a little bit about the different technologies that come into play. Can you talk about kind of how these different technologies play into the business side of things? So it's not just about being able to more accurately or more easily get in touch with someone, but how does that transition onto the business side of things, Bill?
We're dealing with complex problems that, for the most part, can't be solved by a single individual. It's a collaborative endeavor where we have people with different types of expertise working together to come to a solution. It's about supporting the social network. And this form of collaboration is at the heart of anything we're doing today, whether you're within the business or across businesses. But in any organization, we've got tight problems. We just can't afford to have inefficient communication and inefficient collaboration, which is more to the point. That's the end, right? I don't want a toaster. I want toast.
Right. You don't care how you get there as long as we can enable it. And how does this extend outside my organization to help that collaboration with my business partners and perhaps with my customers?
Absolutely.
Evan, what are you seeing from a sort of from a customer perspective? You mentioned a couple of customers, specifically in the home building example, where you've got them distributed and it's helping with really drive that business. Are they seeing that going out and helping with collaboration to their customers as well?
Absolutely. So what the home builders have been able to extend the process out to their clients, so the clients feel like they're more a part of the process of building their home. And I mean, for a lot of people, building their home is the biggest investment they're going to make in their life, so they want to feel like they're a part of it. So these tools are allowing more interaction from the actual person that's purchasing this home with the home builder. So there's more interaction, and the consumers are feeling like they're more a part of this the entire home building process.
Well, and I think to Bill's point also, I mean, those end customers really don't care what the technology is. They just want to be part of that process and to be involved.
It has to be easy to use, right? I mean, if it becomes too complex, people will avoid that technology. But with the integration that Microsoft has done, they make it easy to use. So single click, in a lot of cases, to be able to choose the method of communication that you want to use. And we find that that's very important. A lot of our customers have said to us, we don't want you to add additional applications to the desktop. We don't want you to add additional complexity. But it's so intuitive that after we've implemented, the majority of our customers are saying, where has this been? Why haven't we used it before?
Now, that brings us kind of to an interesting point. You know, as we look at some of the customers, I'm going to maybe kind of throw out two questions. One is around, you know, obviously with your service being hosted, barriers to entry, you know, what's involved in people getting up and running. And that also ties into, you know, why should people be adopting this now rather than waiting?
Right. So because our solution is hosted, we really follow a utility model. So we can bring customers up in a very short time period. Normally, organizations would have to acquire hardware, acquire skill sets to be able to deploy these solutions. In our hosted environment, we can turn you up in less than 24 hours and have you up and running and utilizing these technologies. We also charge customers on a per-user, per-month basis. So there is no real capital investment required by these organizations. It really becomes an operating cost. So barriers to entry, we don't really see any because we've given organizations the ability to utilize these tools effectively and very quickly if they so choose.
Can I just jump in on that one, too? A really important point there, too, is that one of the most expensive things of bringing on new technologies isn't so much the hardware or the installation, but actually the training and the learning. And the critical thing to remember here is we already know how to work a phone and work our email. So it builds on existing skills. So that part, it's just there and it just works and you can immediately take advantage of it.
Absolutely. I think that that's really a key point to drive home, that you're not trying to introduce a lot of new technology to people. It's really allowing them to do perhaps new things with technology they're already familiar with.
It's all about leveraging what you already have. And then this way of bringing it in means you don't have to turn your entire IT system upside down either. It's wonderful.
Right, and also the integration that Microsoft has done to existing applications on the desktop makes it very easy to use. So, for example, if you have an end user that spends majority of their day using Microsoft Excel, they don't have to switch between Microsoft Excel and another application to be able to utilize all the applications of this portfolio. It's integrated into Excel, so if that's the only application they use, they instantly have access to all this additional functionality by deploying to the Unified Communication portfolio.
Absolutely. And Brian, you know, kind of what are your thoughts around, you know, now versus later?
You need to think about each individual business or organization, and particularly the processes and processes which are people-dependent, processes where interaction between individuals is a required part of that process, whether it's, you know, giving an approval or a go-ahead or discussing strategy or any one of these different potential things. And it's about being able to integrate communications into that strategy, and it's really thinking about how communications can enable people working together in a better way. And I think most businesses are there today. If we go back and we take a look at something that, that Gartner said, they said that by 2010, they believe 80% of businesses who've deployed a unified communications technology platform, that they will achieve a significant revenue and competitive advantage.
Further to that, we're actually seeing a lot of benefits sooner than that. If we go back to the Homes by Avi example, before a home is built, it has to go through a lot of internal approvals, and historically, they've used fax machines or email to get those approvals done and communicate with people in the organization. Now, using the real-time communication tools and using instant messaging, they've been able to shorten the amount of time it takes for them to have the internal approvals done before they can start building the home. So instantly, if they can save even a day per home that they're building, they automatically become more profitable.
So this is really kind of taking this to the next level and saying it's not just about making it easier for people to communicate, but in that example, there's actually almost direct tie back to cost savings and productivity.
Exactly.
I just like the fact that this lets a three-person company function as a multinational with a professional front, and it also lets a large enterprise behave like a small startup with that kind of agility just because of the efficiencies. You focus on what's important, not the how to do things, but the just getting it done and the information. And again, it's just the right thing at the right for the right person, the right place, right time, right price.
The nice thing about unified communications is that it can really improve the quality of the collaboration on a process. So an email that may be a little bit ambiguous and I don't completely understand, I can quickly move into and launch a video conference from that has that context of the email there. And then as we continue and have this video conference, we can then move into a live meeting scenario where we can both collaboratively work on this document. And so you think about the quality of the work that you're doing together when you're using these different modes of communication, as opposed to being stuck in one siloed form. You can see kind of intuitively how that would improve the quality of the collaboration.
Absolutely. Well, I want to say thank you very much both to Bill here in the studio, as well as Evan and Brian joining us on the phone. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience and your expertise. We hope what you've heard today helps your business maximize IT resources and drive business value.
I'd love to hear from you directly, so please feel free to post your comments at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast. Additionally, you can also find the supplementary resources and other podcasts in this series on that same site. Thanks for listening. Join us again next month for our interview with Stephen Ibaraki, KIPP's Vice President, and Bruce Cowper from Microsoft Canada, where we'll talk about the security environment for 2007. Thanks again for joining us.